Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantagraph of Friday, July 26, 2024. We turn first to page one, where the main story is about community, and it's headlined, Giving Back, Bloomington Businessman Providing Backpacks to Families in Need. This story is datelined Bloomington. For the past 6 years, just before the school year begins, Gabrielle Van's garage is full of bulk school supplies waiting to be stuffed into hundreds of backpacks and given to school-aged children. From noon to 3 p.m. on Sunday, August 4th, Van, owner of Autos for Less in Bloomington, will gather with his family, friends, and employees in Forest Park for a free backpack giveaway that also will feature food, family-friendly games, and a DJ. The park is just south of Miller Park between Morris Avenue and Springfield Road. We do different stations with games and bounce houses, free food, and gift cards, Van said. Each family can receive up to two backpacks for their school children for free, according to an event post on social media. Van's reasoning is simple, he said. Being born and raised here, I came from nothing, you know, Van said. Now that I finally made it in life and I'm successful, then I like giving back to the community. Van and his three brothers were raised in Bloomington by their mother, Brenda, in subsidized housing, what he called the projects. Now, being a successful businessman for over a decade, it's his time to lift others up, he said. It is important to me because, I mean, literally coming from nothing and a mom raising four boys, struggling, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, I mean, the community should support, Van said. Throughout the year, Van stocks up by buying bulk supplies from places like Walmart and Amazon, he said. You can't buy paper cheaper than you can at Walmart, Van said, standing next to a 3-foot-tall pallet-sized stack of ruled paper. Each backpack gets the basic supplies, pencils, markers, crayons, glue, scissors, safety scissors for the younger kids, folders, rulers, notebooks, loose paper, and other things that students might need, Van said. I can't make their bag perfect, but it has all the essentials, he said. It is a small operation, too, with just Van and his close family and friends packing the bags, he said. Because of that, they have to keep the backpacks pretty uniform. It's too hard to do every grade, so you do grade school bags, high school bags, Van said. Then on a Saturday early in August, they set up at Forest Park in Bloomington for 3 hours and give the supplies away, he said. We have some of the same families. They come in, they'll hang out for the whole entire time, Van said. Seeing their reaction is satisfying, he said. It's a joy, enjoyment, you know, just seeing the reward. When these families come, they're so joyful, Van said. Heartland Head Start, which provides child care and family development for low-income families and children facing poverty in McLean and Livingston counties, will have a table with information and resources at this year's giveaway, Van said. The nonprofit consistently partners with community organizations to connect with families and clients, said Erica Tisdale, Family Service Community Engagement Manager with Heartland Head Start. Collaborating with community partners allows them to help all the families in the community, not just our families, but families that aren't in the program yet, she said. On August 4th, families can get free diapers and wipes from Heartland Head Start, as well as information about their programs, Tisdale said. We will also have school supplies for the kiddos that they may need to add to their backpack, she said. These are the opportunities and the programs that Van's younger brother, Darcel Van, said he wished they'd had growing up. I probably didn't have none of this stuff as a kid, so it's nice just giving back to the community, he said. While they buy the burgers, hot dogs, chips, and drinks for the event, Gabrielle Van said they could use help cooking and chaperoning the festivities. We always need volunteers for the stations, you know, somebody to stand at the bounce houses to make sure that the kids aren't going crazy, he said. Excuse me. Anyone interested in helping out should contact Autos for Less Incorporated at 309-820-1505, he said. And our next front page story is about election 2024. DNC organizers release plans. Chicago prepared for protests, migrants, authorities say. This story is from the Chicago Tribune. Federal and local authorities on Thursday released long-awaited details of the planned security perimeter around the upcoming Democratic National Convention, a marquee event for the city that promises to bring not only the spotlight of the presidential race to Chicago, but protests and safety concerns as well. Officials unveiled a pedestrian-only restricted zone around the United Center that stretches approximately from Washington Boulevard on the north, Seeley Avenue on the west, and Adams Street on the south, with the easternmost part of the border ending between Wood and Paulina Streets. Only people with credentials who have a need to be there, such as delegates, volunteers, and other workers, will be allowed within that inner perimeter, said 2024 DNC coordinator Jeff Burnside. An outer perimeter will allow vehicles subject to a screening checkpoint at the corner of Paulina and Monroe Streets. The outer border extends east and south of the pedestrian-only zone by roughly a block. Let me state this unequivocally. Chicago is ready. We were born ready, Mayor Brandon Johnson told reporters, saying that the expected nomination of Vice President Kamala Harris represents a new breath of life into our nation. This will be a peaceful and unified expression of our sacred democratic process, Johnson said. You will be protected and served throughout this convention. Governor J.B. Pritzker, Johnson, and Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling were among those joining federal representatives at the announcement. The DNC is slated to be held at the United Center from August 19 to 22nd. Thousands of delegates, politicians, and hangers-on will descend on the near West Side Arena, where the party will formally select its candidate for president. After President Joe Biden's exit from the race over the weekend briefly threw the process into chaos, the party is coalescing around Vice President Kamala Harris as nominee, meaning the events inside the United Center seem largely predetermined. Outside the United Center, however, is a different story. The convention is expected to draw tens of thousands of protesters, whom city officials initially wanted to confine to Grant Park, some 3 miles away from the United Center. A coalition of protesters filed a lawsuit arguing for closer access, and earlier this month revealed that the city had offered an alternate route. The revised plan calls for protesters to assemble in Union Park on the near west side before marching west along Washington Boulevard to Hermitage Avenue, then past a small park north of the United Center. The route then turns east on Lake Street back to Union Park. That route still presents challenges, the coalition stated in a court filing, including the potential for massive log jams on smaller side streets given the enormous number of expected participants. The lawsuit is still ongoing with arguments before U.S. District Judge Andrea Wood, slated for August 5th. Meanwhile, Mayor Brandon Johnson's office is preparing for as many as 25,000 migrants to be transported to Chicago from the southern border in the coming weeks. That number is speculative, Deputy Mayor of Immigration Beatriz Ponce de Leon said, but the possibility remains that Republican lawmakers in border states would strategically flood Chicago with migrants in an attempt to throw the city into chaos at a crucial time for Democrats. And Chicago has homegrown problems. The widespread civil unrest of 2020 is a fresh memory, and the summer so far has seen the usual spike in gun violence, with more than 100 people shot over the long Independence Day weekend. Chicago Police Superintendent has reportedly stressed the department's training rigors, especially related to First Amendment and crowd control measures for officers who will be assigned to the DNC. And Cook County officials announced Wednesday that they will open a temporary court facility on the northwest side to handle court appearances if needed for an influx of arrestees. The stakes for convention security, already high, were raised significantly after an assassination attempt on ex-President Donald Trump earlier this month. The shooting in Pennsylvania left Trump without serious injuries, but solidified fears of escalating political violence and prompted criticism of the Secret Service's capabilities. That agency's director, Kimberly Cheadle, resigned Tuesday amid questions of how the gunman was allowed to get so close. Cheadle visited Chicago less than 2 months ago, addressing reporters with Snelling to tout the interagency coordination ahead of the convention. "We've got a tremendous working relationship with Chicago Police, as well as a multitude of other agencies, both local and federal, that will be contributing to this whole-of-government approach that we're taking with the DNC," Cheadle said at the time. "I've said this over and over again. We have been preparing for this DNC since we found out that we were going to be a host city," Snelling said 2 days after the assassination attempt on Trump. "And all of the incidents that could occur, we're accounting for those things, and we are making sure that we are training around those things." While much of the pressure to keep protests peaceful has been on Johnson, Pritzker will also be a partial owner of the convention's execution, as he was a key player in attracting National Democrats to Illinois. Additionally, the governor has been in the spotlight this week as a potential running mate for Harris among a deep bench of other popular Democratic leaders. Asked about the possibility for unrest Tuesday on MSNBC's Morning Joe, Pritzker said all levels of law enforcement are engaged and pivoted to optimism about the party's energy inside the walls of the United Center, predicting that it's probably going to be the best convention ever. In an interview earlier this month, Illinois State Police Director Brendan Kelly said that the agency's deployment will be the largest since the Chicago NATO summit in 2012. He declined to say exactly how many people would be involved in the convention specifically, but added that Illinois State Police includes about 3,000 people and has the staff to work both the convention and its regular duties. The possibility of mass arrests has already rippled through the local criminal justice system. Cook County judges are scheduling around the convention, avoiding the dates on their calendars. "The 19th is out. No cases are being set in this building," Judge Kenneth Wattis said during a hearing Thursday morning as he scheduled a bench trial for early August. "We have been told to not do anything." Wattis said judges were additionally told to keep it light during the week of the 12th. He noted in court that another judge based in the Layton Criminal Courthouse had a jury trial moved to the branch court in Rolling Meadows. And our last front page story is the Cutting Board column titled "The Trials and Tribulations of Roasting Duck." "When I started the Cutting Board, I invited you to come on a journey with me to learn about the food we eat and where it grows. But it's important to remember that I am not a professionally trained chef. I am but a humble home cook who happens to be a professional writer with a platform. That is to say, I make mistakes. Remember when I said a falling knife has no handle? Well, 2 weeks after that, I tried to stop a falling meat cleaver and required stitches for the first time in my life. Only 4 on a finger, please don't worry. So I'll say it up front. I am not happy with the food that I created this week. There is nothing wrong with the ingredients, nor was the food inedible. It just didn't turn out how I wanted it to. For the last several weeks, I have been researching this week's recipe, trying to find the simplest, tastiest way to prepare a whole duck. Over a month ago, I placed an order with Middle Creek Farms, a small operation outside of Clinton that grows chickens, ducks, pigs, and goats. I dug out from storage the exact roasting pan and rack that would suspend the bird above the vegetables so that they would soak up the drippings. I've eaten duck in restaurants several times, and I really wanted to share it with you. I did everything right, or so I thought. So, in this week's cutting board, we are embracing our flaws and learning from my mistakes. Frank Pasloski and his wife, Janie, started Middle Creek Farms in 2018 when they purchased over 50 acres in DeWitt County. We started with chickens. From chickens, we started raising ducks. From ducks, we started raising pigs. And then from pigs, we added goats, Frank Pasloski said. If they don't hatch their own ducks, they purchase day-old ducklings and train them to go in and out of the coop at night and then set them free, he said. They raise their animals in a non-intrusive way, allowing them to roam free during the day on their property so they can eat bugs, root about the vegetation, and live a cage-free life, he explained. This means healthy animals that produce a healthy, nutritious meat, he said. They go from our house to our pond. The ducks get to be ducks, Pasloski said. We feed them non-GMO food, and by letting them exercise and be themselves, our ducks finish off very well. At 9 weeks, they take the ducks in to be processed. At the downtown Bloomington Farmers Market, they sell whole duck for $10 a pound, and the one I bought was just shy of 4 pounds, so it's really a purchase for a special occasion, as far as I'm concerned. Now, there is a marked difference in meat from poultry and other livestock like cows and pigs. Ruminants, like cattle and sheep, alongside hogs, have fat below the skin and throughout the muscles. This intramuscular fat is often referred to as marbling and greatly flavors steaks and chops. Poultry, like guinea fowl, think chicken, and waterfowl, think duck, have the majority of their fat between the skin and the meat. This is why boneless, skinless chicken breasts can turn out dry when not cooked properly. There's no fat. Ducks spend a lot of time floating on ponds and lakes, so they have a generous amount of fat between the skin and the breast meat. Rendering that to moisten the meat and create a crispy skin is what I was aiming for. I've done this with chicken more times than I can count, so I was wholly confident with this recipe. And I found people online who replicated this method with good results. I salted the duck with 1 tablespoon of kosher salt, just less than 1 teaspoon per pound because I was adding salt later, the day before cooking, and left it in a stainless steel bowl covered mostly with foil. I think this was my first mistake. Things dehydrate when uncovered in the fridge, and this roast needed dehydrating. I thought leaving the corners open would be enough, but maybe next time I'll elevate the duck on a rack and leave it uncovered. I brought the duck out, put a bouquet of thyme, rosemary, and sage in the open cavity, and put it on the rack on the roasting pan. I let it come to room temperature before preheating the oven to 375 degrees. Here, I think, was mistake number 2 and 3. All ovens are different, but 375 was too low, I think. Somewhere around 400 or a little higher would have been better. I also should have scored the skin on the breast better. I only poked it with a fork, and I don't think that allowed the fat to render quickly enough. Along with the duck, I had about 1 pound of boiled potatoes that I broke in half and 2 onions roughly chopped. After adding 1 teaspoon of flaky salt to the duck breast, I started roasting. After 20 minutes, I added the potatoes and onions to the bottom of the roasting pan where they were supposed to soak up the rendered fat. Every 20 minutes after, for a total of 80 minutes, I rotated the veg as per my research. The duck finished at 168 degrees internal temperature. But here's the thing. Duck is culinarily a red meat, like beef, meaning this bird was cooked to well done. A lot of chefs will serve duck breasts medium rare at 145 degrees, but the USDA recommends fully cooking all poultry to 165 throughout. That's not always a bad thing, Cantonese duck and duck à l'orange, along with duck confit, are all fully cooked dishes. But this roast did not have all the extra sauce, flavor, and fat that's added to those dishes. This roast tasted hearty and beefy, but the skin was rubbery and a little bland. Again, this is not the fault of the Pislaskis or the quality of their product. I just didn't cook it correctly. And I have this weird philosophy about not making the best use of animal products. These creatures were living, breathing, thriving beings. They enjoyed their life on the pond and freely gobbled up grasshoppers. Not making the best of the food we take from them, I feel, is disrespecting that animal. Next time, I think I'll try a couple of other things to better render the duck fat, like scoring it or tightening it up by blanching it in boiling water. I think a higher roasting temperature would render that fat quicker while keeping the breast moister. I'll see you next time, and thanks for sticking around. If you're a farmer or a producer and would like to talk with me for this column, call me at 309-820-3275 or email daniel.alkire@lee.net. And be sure to check back next time to find out what we're chopping up on the cutting board. And we turn now to some local and state news. This one is headlined, Pritzker indicates he's under consideration for VP slot. This story is from the Chicago Tribune. In the strongest indication yet that he is under active consideration for the Democratic vice presidential nomination, Governor J.B. Pritzker said Wednesday he could not comment on private discussions when asked if presumptive presidential nominee Kamala Harris's campaign staff had contacted him for vetting as she seeks a running mate. Appearing on CNN's The Lead with Jake Tapper, the second-term Illinois governor also showed his interest and willingness to accept the post of vice president if it's offered to him. I love being governor of Illinois. The people of Illinois have graced me with that title for the last two elections, and you know, I'd be reluctant to make a change, he said. But it would be hard to resist a call and consideration if the nominee called me to ask to be considered for vice president. Pritzker was an ardent supporter of President Joe Biden's reelection bid until Biden withdrew from the race in favor of Harris on Sunday. Previously, among names being considered as a possible replacement for Biden, Pritzker endorsed Harris's presidential bid Monday and immediately found himself mentioned as a potential running mate. Pritzker, a billionaire entrepreneur and heir to the Hyatt Hotel fortune, whose net worth is estimated at $3.5 billion by Forbes, is the nation's wealthiest elected official, and his money could prove attractive in the Democrats' effort to retain the White House against former Republican President Donald Trump. More than just traveling nationally in a surrogate role for the Democratic ticket, Pritzker has been a vociferous critic of Trump, regularly labeling him a racist, a homophobe, a grifter, and a felon. Traditionally, vice presidential candidates take the attack dog role, allowing the top of the ticket to remain above the fray. That model has literally been flipped on its head in the era of Trump-style politics. Pritzker had not made himself available to local media since Biden quit the race. Instead, he has done national interviews with MSNBC and CNN, outlets that often serve as open auditions for politicians seeking higher office or looking to increase their visibility. On Tuesday morning, Pritzker told MSNBC that he had not received vetting materials for the vice presidential slot from Harris's political team, but Wednesday he stopped short of that when asked directly if he had been asked to submit paperwork to be vetted. "Well, I'm not going to talk about any private conversations that I've had," he said. "But as you know, I have been traveling the country advocating for Kamala Harris for the Democratic ticket and making sure that we are beating Donald Trump everywhere we can." Pritzker political aides did not return requests for comment on the governor's latest statements. The Illinois governor joins a list of potential running mates that includes Governors Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, Roy Cooper of North Carolina, and Andy Beshear of Kentucky, as well as U.S. Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona. In his CNN interview, Pritzker said there had been a palpable change among Democrats since Biden stepped out of the race, and that Harris was bringing new energy to the party just in time for the Chicago-based convention that he will host. "The convention itself is a palpably exciting event now, and I think inside the hall you're going to see Democrats coming together and supporting the person I think is going to be our nominee, and that is Kamala Harris," he said. Under rules adopted by the Democratic National Convention's Rules Committee that are aimed at ensuring the party's presidential and vice presidential candidates appear on all 50 state ballots, Harris must name a running mate within the next 2 weeks. The DNC faces an August 7th deadline and plans to hold virtual vote by delegates to select a presidential candidate. Under the rules, voting by delegates on a presidential nominee can begin no earlier than August 1st. Harris has already secured backing from a majority of convention nominating delegates. The rules say that once the presidential nominee is selected, the nominee may place a vice presidential candidate into nomination, with Minion Moore, the convention chair, declaring that candidate to be the party's vice presidential nominee. At the convention, celebratory and ceremonial votes of the delegates will be taken, including a state-by-state roll call on the presidential nominee, convention officials said. And this story is headlined, "Woman Pleads Guilty to Burglary Charge," Dateline Bloomington. A Bloomington woman has pleaded guilty and has been sentenced to a charge of burglary in McLean County. Jessica M. Longberry, 39, was charged in May 2023 with burglary and forgery after authorities said she burglarized a grocery store and tried to cash a fraudulent check from a local pub. Longberry appeared in front of Judge Amy McFarland for a plea hearing Thursday, during which she pleaded guilty to the Class 2 burglary felony charge by plea agreement through her attorney, John Busson. In response to the plea, Assistant State's Attorney Alex Williams dismissed the forgery charge on behalf of the state. As part of her plea agreement, Longberry was sentenced to 30 months of probation and 100 hours of community service and ordered to pay all fines and court costs. According to the factual basis read by Williams, Longberry had forged and cashed a $587 check belonging to the business account of a local bar, making the check payable to herself. Then, on April 17, 2023, Longberry went to a grocery store on North Main Street in Bloomington and used the stolen and forged check at the store, the prosecutor said. Bloomington police came to the defendant's residence and she told officers she delivered the check to the store after she received it from another person. Busson did not respond to a request for comment regarding his client. And this next story says, Brightpoint is hosting a night of open play pickleball Friday to raise money for its programs. The fundraiser, Dinks, Drinks, and Donate, will take place from 5 to 8 p.m. July 26th. At Evergreen Racquet Club on Washington Street in Bloomington. The open play format will include foursomes rotating onto one of the 14 pickleball courts as they become available. Registration is limited to the first 100 players for $30 per player. And registration includes swag, food, and drinks. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, July 26, 2024. I look forward to reading part two with you next.